Across Tamworth and the northwest slopes and plains, you're waking up to 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
Yeah.
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm extremely well. You had a lovely weekend.
Yeah, it was nice. Just chill, relaxed.
You had a chilled weekend because you're looking chilled and relaxed, I have to say, this morning. What's happening? What's happening? I told you my haircut story already, so I can't say it on air.
Oh.
Can I tell you the story again?
I think you could tell me the story because I was writing the news, so I was like half there, you know?
So I went down the Central Coast and I got myself a haircut.
You did, looking very sharp.
Yeah, slit, fresh.
Short back and sides.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she was in a hurry.
Why was she in a hurry?
Because I didn't have a booking.
Oh.
So I just went round a few random places looking for a haircut. And there's barbers there. Like, we've got one or two in Tamworth where you just line up. And I originally went to one of those. And it was like, geez, there's about eight guys in there.
Yeah.
I should have realised by the guy standing out the front on the footpath, socially distancing, that there would be eight guys in there. And they're all
true.
Like... I drove past and I went, oh, it doesn't look like there's too many people in there. And then I did a Yui and parked and everything. Got in there and realised they were just socially distancing. That's why I didn't realise it didn't look like it was packed.
True. Yeah, you have to do that.
They
now,
were just
right?
spread out everywhere. Mm. It looked like, because you look through the window and you go, oh, there's only two guys in the waiting chairs. Then you get in there and there's a guy over here. There's one in the corner.
17 others.
There's a random one over there. So I couldn't do that. So I went to a few others, got a couple of knockbacks.
Finally found one.
Niche barbers. There you go. So,
very good.
At East Gosford, if you're ever down on the Central Coast, you can go and see the lady down there who I didn't get
I can attest. It looks very good.
Yeah, and she didn't have anyone in there. And I said, oh, do you mind just giving me a haircut? And she goes, oh, I've got someone coming in, but yeah, go on, sit down. So, and I said, it won't take long. Just, you know.
Once all over.
I'm just cutting it. Just cut it off. Basically, I don't need any blow wave or anything like that. And so she did. And I'm talking to her at the time, and then we started talking about random things, as you do with your barber. As you know, they're all experts on everything.
A bit of small talk.
Bit of small talk going on and all that sort of stuff. And we started talking about, I think it started, you know how it started? We started talking politics because she said, do you want me to run the clippers over your eyebrows?
Really?
Yeah.
That's so
it's
good.
Not that funny.
It is hilarious.
She was.
Did you say yes?
Yeah. Can you
I
see?
I was thinking that they looked quite, but I hadn't really noticed them before.
Yeah.
So
no, they
now
do get a
I'm
bit bushy
to.
After, you know, every second haircut they get a little bit. And she goes, you want me to just sort them? I went, yeah, sort them. Yeah, good sorting. And I said, yeah, I'm starting to look a bit like John Howard, so I better.
He does have a good pair,
he
doesn't he?
He does got a good set of brows, yeah. So I said, look, I'm starting to look a bit like John Howard, you know. And then it sort of that got us on politics. And then I said, well, you wouldn't want to be a politician right now, would you? You know, they didn't really sign up for this. And, you know, it's been a really difficult time when we've had leaders that have...
It's a heated convo for when someone's got scissors near your head.
Yeah, well it's just, I'm just, you know, from a human, from a purely human aspect, you know, you can say, well, we've had politicians that have done the job for 10, 15 years
and nothing
never
major.
Had to do this, you know. They didn't have a war or a, you know, this sort of thing to live through where there's no rule book and there's no, you know, everyone's just doing their best. And I said, I'd hate to be, you know, and she goes, Daniel Andrews is my cousin.
No.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know. And I went, what? Really?
You're like, is he okay?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, the family's really worried about him because
he
hasn't had a day off for 3 months and we think he's getting, you know, he's losing weight and he's looking really old. And
he does look like he's lost weight.
Yeah.
I see the press
so
conferences every day and he keeps wearing those big jackets, but I reckon they're getting a bit baggier.
Yeah, I reckon they are too. So he's, the family, I can tell you the family's worried about him. I know for a fact the family is worried about him. I went, wow, you're Daniel Andrews' cousin. She said, yeah, and I'm a hairdresser. And, like, she starts having a whinge about it. She didn't whinge about it, but she said, look, when we talk, you know, like, I nearly went out of business with all the panic. I had to shut down my business and all that. I'm just running a hair salon, and I had to shut down, and I nearly went right out of business. But if I complain about that, the family, they all say, what about Daniel? You know, you think you're complaining. What about poor old Daniel? And she's like, well, I can't get no sympathy, man. actually didn't say it that way, but that's what
that's,
she was saying.
That was just feeling.
So there you go. So that's my haircut story for the week. And isn't that amazing?
That's the best haircut story.
I know. And I'm going back there. I said, next time I'm going to book, give me a card and I'll come to you now. So I'm going to get my haircut off Daniel lovely. Andrews' cousin from now on.
Don't call it that.
Well, I don't know her name.
Oh, well, you need to find out her name, Pete.
Niche. I call her Niche. Maybe her name's Nisha.
Maybe. Maybe. Or she's just trying to provide you with a niche service that comes on the side of politics.
Well, that's right. Well, it's down a little tiny little arcade, so I thought it's in a little niche down there.
Yeah, there you go.
So there you go. And yeah, and the lady who was supposed to be getting your haircut actually turned up about halfway through mine, and she was very nice. She sat there and she was all happy and she didn't say, come on, oh, it's 12 o'clock.
Well, if you're late, you're late. That's what I reckon.
Yeah, that's right. You snooze, you lose. But I've had cases where I've done that in other places and there's no one in there at all. And I go, do you want to give me a haircut? No, I'm full. But there's no one here. Like, it's only going to take 5 minutes.
Like, maybe back in the day when they didn't need the business, but now I don't think anyone's going to turn you around. Yeah, maybe I did the right
thing. But I was really happy with that because...
Got your eyebrows trimmed and everything.
Yeah, got the brows done, the whole bit, you know. So, and it's Daniel Andrews' cousin. Like, so I know...
You got a direct line.
Yeah. I can, like... If you got any questions.
Yeah, I'll pass them on.
I'll pass them through.
I mean, he's pretty good. He stands there and answers every question.
Well, that was the thing. Like, I think I might have even brought him up saying, gee, you'd hate to be that guy because he just...
You know, someone just, the other day...
He fronts up every day. Whether you like the way he's handled or not, or whether it's...
What
your politics are. He gets up and he talks and he's given through all the bad news and everything every single day, you know. It's just incredible. He's been going for months now, so.
I know that everyone has different priorities and things and, you know, he obviously stood there and he said all of the, like, you know, the sad news about people that had died on Friday and another, you know, several hundred cases and extending the lockdown for people in Melbourne. So, you know, it was a pretty hectic announcement. And then he went through multiple questions, you know, from the inquiries and, like, you know, getting absolute onslaught. And he just stood there and answered them all. And then someone asked, a journalist, mind you, colleague of mine, asked, will Melbourne still get a public holiday even if the AFL grand final is in another state? And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I can't even tell. And you know what? He could have been – I feel like if I was that person, I would have been like, are you serious? Are you serious?
Oh, I would have as well. I'm like, yeah. Like,
but you know what? He had a little giggle and then he just said, I think we've deserved it. I think we deserve it after, like, you know, the year that we've been through. Whether the final happens here or not, we can still have our AFL public holiday. And I thought, what a legend to not get angry, because I'd be like,
that's right.
Are you for real?
And where are you going to go anyway?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's face it. You got to hope you live within 5 km of the beach.
And if that pleases you to have a public holiday because you always get one, then just, good on you.
You'd hate to not... You know, be living within 5 km of a pub. Are the pubs open down there?
No.
They're not, oh, that's lucky. Because I thought, gee, if you were living, you know, outside the 5 km radius of your local watering hole, that'd be like, you'd be changing your address to your mate's place, wouldn't you? That live closer. Anyway, we'll go to the, we didn't get to talk about the news, but we might analyse it afterwards. We've got the NRL to talk about as well.
Get your day underway with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley on Tamworth's own 1287 2TM.
Indeed, time we went to the USA now and find out what's happening. Today's only in America. We're going to Illinois. One of the great joys of driving through regional USA is the covered bridges. If you've ever seen the bridges of Madison County and a few other movies like that, they've got these old bridges that are, it's almost like driving through a shed, and they're absolutely gorgeous. Well, the historic Longgrove Bridge, which dates back to 1906, was damaged in 2018. When a big truck ploughed into the structure and, you know, they had to save up money and redo the whole thing. Well, it reopened last Friday amongst great fanfare and celebration. Around noon Saturday, you know what's going to happen. A bus driver turned from Route 53 onto the road going to the Longgrove Bridge. And her GPS warned her that she should not proceed. It was a school bus, actually. The GPS said, beep, 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 do not proceed with the type of vehicle you are driving. The occupants on the bus actually convinced her to proceed, which she did. And you know the rest. She's hit the bridge and damaged it. A day after they reopened it, the bus was rented for hire, so it wasn't actually carrying school people, but charges are pending against the driver, a 44-year-old from Chicago. No injuries reported. The motorist was still able to drive through the damaged bridge on Saturday. However, it's going to require extensive repairs to the roof again. Damage is visible on the bridge from the roof rims. The school bus tyres had to be deflated so they could get the bus out of there. A tow truck hauled the bus away several hours later. There were some folks taking bets on when the first person was going to hit it, but no one thought it would happen within hours of us reopening the bridge, said the Longgrove Village president, Bill Jacob. Jacob said the school bus was chartered for a golf outing. Yeah, those golfers. I don't care anything about anything except their balls. Unbelievable. I got a text at 12:30 p.m. I was cutting my grass. He said, you're not going to believe this. You got to come on down here. There's a school bus stuck underneath the bridge, which we only just reopened yesterday. The good news is, though, the steel truck's structure they put in place, that's limited the damage to the previously all-timber bridge. However, it's going to get repaired. We're going to take some time and other measures to try to prevent this happening again. They didn't even last 24 hours. And that's
Tamworth Zone 1287 2TM and 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley.
Kenya Wildlife Service has just shared some good news on their Facebook page the other day. I'll read it to you. Kenya has a conservation and management strategy of elephants in place to guide elephant recovery strategies. Following its implementation many years ago, I'm happy with the progress we're making since its launch year in 2012. It's seen the elephant population steadily grow from 16,000 to more than 34,800 by the end of 2019, which is more than double the population that it was in the 90s. So the elephant population in Kenya, where they had awful poaching problems, you might remember, and the elephant population was pretty much dying out. They've doubled their elephant population in Kenya now. There's still some other African countries, I'm sorry, that need to catch up to that. But great news. Finally, some good news.
Get your day underway with 2TM Breakfast with Peter Huxley on Tamworth Zone 1287 2TM.
Looks like Sal's left me an article up here to read out. She probably read this one on her show. A restaurant in central China has apologised for encouraging diners to weigh themselves and then order food accordingly. So I don't know what that means. So you get more if you weigh more, because that kind of defeats the purpose if that's what they're trying to do. Or they're saying if you're too small, maybe you can't have that much food. I don't know, but, you know, you see some of those blokes that are competitive eaters. That little Japanese bloke that used to be the competitive eating world champion before Joey Chestnut beat him, he beat a bear in a hot dog eating contest or something like that. The policy was introduced after a national campaign against food waste was launched. The beef restaurant in the city of Changsha placed two large scales at its entrance this week. Then it asked diners to enter the measurements into the app, and then that would suggest menu items accordingly. Sorry, fatty, you're going to have boiled rice. That's not good, is it? Signs reading "Be thrifty and diligent, promote empty plates" and "Operation Empty Plate" were pinned up. The policy caused uproar on Chinese social media. Weibo, or WeChat as we call it, hashtags about the restaurant have been viewed more than 300 million times on the social platform Weibo. The restaurant, that's their version of Facebook. The restaurant's, and it's state-owned, of course. The restaurant said it was deeply sorry for its interpretation of the National Clean Plate campaign. Our original intentions were to advocate stopping waste and ordering food in a healthy way. We never force customers to weigh themselves. Well, we shamed them into doing it. President Xi Jinping ignited the campaign this week, calling levels of national food wasting shocking and distressing, which is good news for Australia, because all that saber-rattling they're doing, guess where they get a lot of their food from? Yeah. So you can say, we're not going to take you from a certain abattoir or whatever they were doing before, but I tell you what, it hurts them more than it hurts us. So having a huge population is actually a double-edged sword. Yeah, you can saber-rattle and pick on us if you want, Xi Jinping, but at the end of the day, you've got to feed them, and guess where all the food comes from? Well, a lot of the food anyway. So that's the good thing about being in Australia.